Hello, everyone, and welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Buddy Pearson, and on this podcast, Education Matters. Well, our guest today is Blake Van Winkle, who is a new high school math specialist for Putnam County Schools. Blake, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
A math specialist for high school. What is a math specialist for high school?
something for somebody that just really enjoys numbers, I suppose. Mostly, it's just a position that's going to kind of facilitate a lot between the other math teachers in the county, kind of guiding and helping them with instruction, some of those things.
So what made you want to apply for this position?
At times I thought that I would, and then times I thought, well, maybe not. And then ultimately I like working with people. Mm-hmm. I think that's one reason why you go into education. But this is just a different side of that, of being able to work more with the teachers. I've been a mentor teacher the past couple of years and helping them. And I've enjoyed being able to kind of guide and share what experience I do have with that and kind of extend that over and carry that into this new role.
Okay. So obviously, like you said, it's got to be somebody that likes numbers and you've kind of been helping with math. So what is how long have you been in the school system?
I've been teaching for 10 years.
Okay.
I've been at Monterey for 9 years.
Okay. Monterey High School?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I guess you've taught math that whole time?
Math the whole time. My first year was in Solana, and it was the 7th and 8th grade. And since I've been at Monterey, it's been a little bit of everything. But, yes, the math the whole time. The 7th and 8th grade is a special area for the teachers. They can do that every day. More power to them.
Yeah.
they deserve their own plaque. But
now, have you been in new high school the whole time?
No. For 1 year, maybe a year and a half almost, we were at Uffelman. And that was an experience.
Yeah.
We went – new high school is beautiful, especially compared to what we was in. We didn't have doors to the rooms. It was just kind of a cutout where a door should be. The transition getting to from there and then into that was awesome too.
Yeah. Well, I want to get back to this position of math specialist and what that means for Putnam County. I know Bubba Winningham, who's the director of curriculum, supervisor for curriculum for high schools – and middle schools, was very excited when mm-hmm. you were named the new math specialist. And I would think that, you know, having all this experience would be able to help you help others. So when you go and you talk to others, what is it? I mean, are you going to meet with people individually? Or are you going to be doing groups? Or what is it exactly that you'll be doing?
It's going to be a little bit of all of it.
Okay.
And it will kind of depend situationally. Mm-hmm. There will be group type things as far as professional developments and PLCs and some of those things. More on that long, I'll be more of a facilitator as far as kind of helping things move along and making sure everybody's on the right track as far as learning to use the data, almost like a teaching type thing. But then in other cases, it'll be more like a mentor, one-on-one meeting, what needs do you have? And that can vary for everybody. A veteran teacher may just have a question here or there, whereas a new teacher may need more support, and that's just going to be a case-by-case basis with that.
Now, did you ever think that when you were teaching math at Monterey High School, this would be something that you would want to do or be available to you?
When I first started teaching, I didn't even know it was a thing.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's been somewhat recent that it became a position.
Okay.
But when Ms. Hawkins, she's the one that did have it and was currently doing it, she helped me a ton, and just being able to have that extra resource, because I know some schools are bigger and it's easy to find a colleague that you can like, hey, I taught this section, this unit this way, and how did you do it? Did you – any resources that really helped you?
Right.
And for me being at Monterey, whenever I was geometry or algebra or whatever, yeah. I was the only one. So to try to find somebody to bounce ideas back and forth from is doable,
yeah.
But it's harder. And having her were like, oh, well, I just saw so-and-so last week. They were doing this. And just having that where they check in and it was easy to ask questions and easy to have somebody that's got multiple scenarios that they're able to view kind of helped me change and guide what I wanted to do.
So as a math teacher at Monterey for the past 9 years, what are some of the courses, the classes that you've been teaching?
I taught a semester of Integrated 3. I've taught primarily Integrated 2 because we was Integrated 2 for a long time. And now I'm doing geometry, which is the flip of that. But Integrated 2 has a lot of overlap with Algebra 1 as well. So even though I didn't do Algebra 1 since we switched over to it, a lot of those concepts carry over from Integrated. Course of geometry, some of Integrated 2 carries over into Algebra 2. And I've taught pre-cal the whole time. So a lot of the algebra concepts carry over into pre-cal 2. The only thing that – and bridge and finite – and applied, but those have all just kind of been rotating around. So those change year to year, time to time. And I had an eighth grade ACT prep. Taught a lot of different things. About the only thing that we've offered that I've not at some point taught or kind of dabbled in is statistics.
Okay.
And that's been taught by Mr. Ruth the whole time.
So when you say integrated two, you're talking to somebody who I took the fewest amount of math courses possible to mm-hmm. be able to graduate from high school and graduate from college. It was like whatever I had to do to take the least amount of math, I did. Mm-hmm. So what is integrated two? What does that mean?
Well, we've actually transitioned away from it back to the traditional Algebra 1, Geometry, and Algebra 2.
Okay.
It was a blended course where you learn a little bit of algebra, a little bit of geometry every year.
Oh, okay.
Which in theory is great, but it came with its own set of issues whenever you tried to compare. Like if we took a competition type test with us and somebody from another county, a lot of times the big tests were based off of traditional Algebra 1, Geometry, Algebra 2.
Yeah.
So what our students were prepared for didn't line up as well at times. And then transfer students, it was way more difficult. If somebody was coming in, there'd be large gaps in what they had been taught and what we were teaching, and it's hard to get them caught up. And along with transfers, you can kind of double up with Algebra 1 and Geometry if you needed to do that to get caught up, and you couldn't do that with Integrated 1, 2, and 3. So I'm glad to be back on the traditional just for the flexibility that it offers.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys where you said, what book made you cry? And I'd say Algebra 1. You know, I mean, that's how bad it was. But obviously, kids these days are super smart, and they can soak up math like a sponge. What do you see as far as the students? Are they grasping the math concepts now? Is it coming easier? Is it easier to teach? Where, you know, how do you evaluate the students and how they're adapting to the math?
It's kind of hard to say. They definitely think somewhat differently now that they're – many students don't want to write down. They want to try to process as much as they can in their head and on the calculator. And kind of back to the algebra thing with me doing geometry, I've always felt that algebra was very much kind of formula-driven, remember, memorize these steps.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing geometry, and a lot of kids that – or students that don't like algebra – a lot of times can be very successful in geometry just because it's different. If you're good at visualizing things, then geometry normally makes sense. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you struggle to kind of visualize concepts in geometry, it can be harder. So normally you prefer one over the other. And then I guess it's my job to kind of tie it together a little bit. But
so have you always loved math?
I've always been fairly decent at it. I was never like overly driven. I'm going to take every math class that I can.
Yeah.
It's just... it was always natural feeling to me. I guess from the time I was little, my mom would have me at the grocery store and like, hey, how much change am I getting? And that started just all the way through.
Yeah, if you're counting money, for sure. Absolutely, yeah.
So, and it just kind of started there. It was more whenever I was in college. I ended up changing majors to be in the education. And it was whenever I was tutoring somebody that I went to church with and mm-hmm. saw how fulfilling it was whenever you could help them with something they were struggling with, and whenever it clicked and they could roll with it.
Right.
That was real rewarding, and it just kind of led me to change.
What were the grades of the students that you teach? All levels or?
A little bit of everything. Geometry is primarily 10th, but okay. I've got it from 9th, 10th, and 11th in there. Pre-Cal is normally a 12th grade, but this year it's actually mostly juniors for the ones that started early as freshmen and have actually got into pre-cal earlier than normal.
So what course do you feel like has been the hardest for you to teach?
The biggest adjustment was probably the geometry concepts, because in school I preferred the algebra concepts, and geometry concepts I could do, but learning how to make somebody see something,
right,
it's harder than just explaining the steps to me, of like just being able to make it make sense. So it wasn't necessarily being able to know the material, but mm-hmm. learning how to get somebody else to know the material and be able to see it was more difficult in that. But also has been rewarding seeing whenever they do that.
So as a teacher, how could you help them? Like, what were some of the things that you used in your own teaching to help them grasp some of those concepts?
Really, the biggest part is getting them comfortable asking. And I know that's not like a specific item as far as do wall walks or do manipulatives or anything like that, which is all things that I do. But the biggest part is getting them comfortable questioning.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it takes till fall break for them to get comfortable enough with me to ask me their questions instead of me having to come and ask them.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, for the first 9 weeks, I'll ask, anybody got questions? Okay, y'all work. And then really I know when they've got questions, but I don't want to ask them. So as they're working, I'll go and I'll start asking. And as I'm answering their questions and moving on, and they're like, oh, the sky didn't fall, he didn't yell at me or whatever, that over time they get comfortable to ask. And it's really neat to see kind of the evolution as the year goes. If you have a student that's super withdrawn, don't want to do anything with math kind of thing. And then as the year goes, like earlier this last week, I had one that I was starting to go check on, and then I saw them. They was already talking. She's like, oh, no, that's just like this. You plug this in here, carry that over. I'm like, I don't even have to go over there. They're rocking and rolling. I'm going to slide over here. But just seeing that transition of one that comes in and, like, firstly, I hate math. I'm not going to do anything in here. And then over time, they get it. It's really cool to see.
Yeah. And what is there ever any that just, I mean, really just struggles? I mean, what do you do? Do you have to give them extra tutoring? Do you give them extra work to do? Or just that one that just has a hard time grasping it?
Ultimately, you just try to break it down and back up until you find where they are.
Oh, okay.
Now, some have mentality of start at the very, very basics and then move up as they're able. I normally try to push as far as we can and then back up to where it's needed. And that's just kind of my mentality on it, because then the ones that need to be, that can do here are, and then I'll try to catch the other ones up. And then that's more along the lines of conversations that you have with that student. Mm-hmm. And it can change from topic to topic, but you back up, okay, well, to get this, you need this. And like, if they don't know what that part is, then you back up again.
Yeah.
And then eventually.
Until you finally figure out where they're at. Yeah.
Until eventually you get to the point of like, what do you know?
Yeah.
Okay, what can that lead us to? And eventually build it back up. And some students, it takes more than others. And over, as time goes, you learn where those kind of, I don't know if hot spots is the right word to use that for, but places where you need to be more conscious of where your time is spent, be able to use that and pair them with ones that can help.
He's Blake Van Winkle, the math specialist in Putnam County Schools. I'm Buddy Pearson, and you're listening to Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
And this is Local Matters with a focus on education. I'm Buddy Pearson. Blake Van Winkle, who is the new high school math specialist for Putnam County Schools, is our guest. And Blake, we want to talk a little bit about where you're from and your background. Where are you from originally?
Originally from Monterey.
Yeah, so you grew up in Monterey.
I did. I grew up in Monterey about a mile and a half from the high school my whole life. My parents still live there now.
Yeah.
I pick up my kids there normally every other day, just about. So I grew up there, graduated from high school there.
Now, what year did you graduate?
I graduated from high school in 2009.
Okay. Did you play any sports? What was your high school?
Played football, played basketball. I broke my collarbone my freshman year, so I didn't get to play basketball my freshman year. But played football all 4 years. I was team captain my senior year, the whole thing.
Right.
Wasn't able to play basketball my senior year, unfortunately, but I did play my sophomore and junior years.
Okay, great. Who was your football coach?
Coach Hedy.
Yeah, Billy Hedy.
Billy Hedy.
Yeah, awesome. And so then you graduate from Monterey High School, and what did you want to do?
Well, I had always thought I was going to go into pharmacy, and I don't know if that was really my idea or something that I had mentioned at some point in time, and parents were like, yeah, that's a great idea. And then whenever I got into college and was looking at doing it, I didn't want to move as far away as it was needed at the time. The closest ones was Johnson City.
Okay.
And I just didn't want to move that far at that time. So that kind of got me to thinking. And then during the process, I mentioned earlier how I wanted was tutoring and enjoyed that, and then decided to change and go into education. I wouldn't trade that now for anything.
So I imagine you went to Tennessee Tech?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And what was your experience like at Tennessee Tech?
Busy.
Yeah.
Busy. I worked at, for my first couple of years, I was working at Burger King while going to Tech. And then for the last 2 years, I worked at Averitt while going to Tech. So the whole time that I was going to school, I was working 30 to 40 hours a week too. So it wasn't your traditional college experience, I guess, but it helped me to get through without owing a whole bunch. So it was what I decided was best for me.
So when you graduated from Tennessee Tech, did you know that you wanted to go back and teach at Monterey?
That's where I always wanted to end up.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it would happen, especially quickly. I graduated in the middle of the year, so I graduated in December and then started teaching at Solana in January. And I taught there from January, and I foresaw myself being there for a while, but a spot happened to open up in Monterey mid-year, January the following year. So I was able to move back home then, essentially.
Yeah, so what was it like? You know, I mean, you grew up in Monterey, like you said, a mile and a half from the high school, and you're teaching there, and so I mean that has to be pretty rewarding, pretty satisfactory.
It was just being able to connect back and kind of see it from the other side, but it also really helped my relations. I feel like because some of those kids, you come like, look, I know what you've got going on at home. I rode my bike up and down your street. I'm like, oh, I know your mom and daddy, or I know. Or I went to school with your cousin, and it just kind of opens that door sometimes.
So at what point did a young lady come into the picture?
That pretty young thing came into the picture my junior year of high school.
Of high school.
Yeah, she went to Monterey as well, and she was a sophomore. Another reason why I didn't want to go to ETSU.
Now we get to the real reason. Yeah. And what's her name?
Her name is Lindsay. It was Jackson. It's Lindsay Van Winkle now.
Yeah.
I was talking to my students today, math, of course, but we was talking about probability statistics and a complement of how the complements of things, if this one was 60%, this one is 40%, together they make a whole. It's like you ever use a complement of dating of like they're perfect for each other. Like this one is everything, this one's not, and this one's everything that this one's not. And together, they're perfect. And I was like, okay, enough about me and my wife. Let's talk about. They all roll their eyes and whatever.
Yeah, you know, but... right. Now, how long have y'all been married?
Let's see.
You better get this right.
Better get it right. It'll be 10 years, July 26th.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, I know from seeing a picture that you also have some youngins around. Tell us about those.
I've got Hadley Claire, and she introduced herself as that. I'm Hadley Claire Van Winkle. She will be 8 May 19th, and I've got a son, Asher Van Winkle, and Asher Blake Van Winkle, and he will be 5 in August.
Okay. So I imagine she goes to Berks.
She goes to Berks. He goes to Berks right now as well
pre-K.
With pre-K.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, and to see Berks and to see your kids going to school there and kind of following in the footsteps, that's got to be pretty cool.
It really is. Like, I was going in and showing her Berks, and, like, as we was walking through, I was like, hey, stop, look at this right here. I said, see that picture? She said, yeah. I said, that's me. I was the very first group that came all the way through Berks. And, like, and she's like, that's you? Like, yeah. So she's already, like, knows that that's kind of where we're from.
Right. Now, you were teaching at when the old high school was being torn down, the new high school was being built in Monterey, and they were using the old Uffelman School to house the high school, and you kind of touched on that a little bit in the first segment about no doors. How hard was it to teach students in an atmosphere of just almost chaos that you were having to, you know, pretty much educate them in?
From a professional standpoint looking at it, you would think, my goodness, it's probably a madhouse.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't.
Really?
The kids were awesome. They adjusted so well, and everybody was pulling the same way and knew kind of what they were there for. It was really, you probably wouldn't believe it unless you were there. I mean, there were times that if one group's taking a test, the two classes on either side got to be quiet too, because the walls were just that corrugated metal.
Yeah.
It was nothing that would stop much sound. And it just, the way that they all worked together and just kind of made it work was awesome.
To be a homegrown Monterey boy and to graduate from Monterey High School, from that old high school.
Yeah.
And now to be able to teach in that new, beautiful facility it's awesome. I mean, how does that make you feel?
Proud.
Yeah.
It's top notch. Beautiful place, especially the athletic wing, I think, is some of the best designed ones around it. Like, it's all been walked by the gym, be able to look down and see once playing on the gym and all that stuff. It's really neat.
So to teach math and also to have played sports there at Monterey, I guess, you know, I'm sure you have, you know, an affection for the student athletes and what they go through. Do you ever talk to them and help them? Because I'm sure they miss a lot of class time. I mean, they can be gone on trips and different things like that. So how do you handle that?
Well, I understand it. I taught math the whole time, but I also have helped coach with baseball. I helped coach football for 6-7 years. So I've been kind of with all of it, know what goes on. So I work with them in that regard. And some of the best relationships really are built with those students because you end up with so much more time with them too.
We look at Monterey High School and we look at academics and things like that. And where do you see Monterey fitting in an academic perspective? I mean, you have gone to school there. You were a teacher there. And what do you want to see from an academic perspective at Monterey?
Just the continued growth. Mm-hmm. And it's been pretty awesome to see. Like, of course, COVID hit and did its thing, and scores suffered temporarily. I'm pretty sure that's nationwide. But it's been kind of a steady increase of where we're kind of climbing back. And if we can just keep that going, we'd really be happy to see that.
Did that affect your teaching a lot?
It had to. I think it affected everybody. Mm-hmm. It kind of drove being more online connected, not necessarily online driven, but at least connected with it. And then as they come back and the social distancing and the wearing masks and everything, it made just teaching difficult at times, having not being able to get as close and point and all the things. Just made that harder, and some of that is still carried over to where some students, it takes them longer to be comfortable with you in their little bubble.
Yeah.
But sometimes you've got to be in their bubble to know what they're talking about.
Sure.
And that kind of goes back to it takes time for them to kind of warm up and open up to me. But I think that's probably the biggest thing is just the social impact more than the education impact.
Mm-hmm. He's Blake Van Winkle. I'm Buddy Pearson, and you're listening to Local Matters. And this is Local Matters with the Focus on Education. I'm Buddy Pearson. We're talking to Blake Van Winkle, who is the new high school math specialist for Putnam County Schools. He's a homegrown Monterey boy who went to high school in Monterey. He has taught at Monterey. And so now as the math specialist, it was just announced last week, maybe week before, how does that change what you do teaching in Monterey, or does it change anything? Is this added duties? Do you still teach in the classroom in Monterey? Do you doing something totally different now? Because kind of explain, you know, what kind of change this is for you.
Yeah, well, the transition is going to be a little bit gradual. It's not going to be day one I'm doing this, day two I'm moved over to this other one. It's right now I'm planning on trying to stay in the classroom as much as possible until after testing's over, just to finish that. And then after that, it's going to be somewhat gradual, and they've not really told me the exact details of how that'll work yet. I do know I'm meeting with the current math specialist, Ms. Hawkins, periodically, just as my planning lines up with hers.
Okay.
and stuff like that, to start covering and doing some of the groundwork for that transition. But they've not give a specific timeline yet.
So do you have a home base for a school, or are you just going to be floating the whole time?
My office, if you will, is going to be at the, I think there's a Star Learning Center attached to Avery Trace Middle School.
Okay.
And it'll be over in there.
Oh, really? Well, now that's going to be different for you because, I mean, you've been at Monterey, I mean, your whole educational career from the time you went to school, you went to Tech, you came back, and then you've been teaching aside from a year at Clay County. But now, you know, you've been in Monterey for 9 years, so what's that going to be like?
It's going to feel probably a little weird. My car will probably naturally start to head up the mountain, but it is much closer for me. It's about a 2-mile drive instead of an 18-mile drive or something.
Oh, wow.
Like
so
that.
You don't live in Monterey anymore?
No. Whenever I graduated and started teaching in Salina, bought a house in Livingston because it's kind of halfway between everything.
Sure.
And then since then, whenever I got a job up in Monterey, we managed to buy a house in Cooper a few years ago.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, that's outstanding. I'm sure this is going to be a great opportunity for you. How do you approach this job as being a math specialist? I know specifically you know that when you come to the classroom every day, you have a lesson to prepare for, you know, whether it's – algebra one or geometry or algebra two or integrated math or whatever it is. So now how do you prepare? What is it that you prepare for in your job?
In a lot of ways, it's similar, mm-hmm. But just kind of on a maybe a bigger scale. Right now, what I'm kind of starting to work on is looking at the pacing guides that we've already had for this year mm-hmm. and going and finding prerequisite skills that would align with that so that we have specific things that coming into this unit, they need to be able to do this, this, and this, and just those kind of things carrying over into that. Now, some of the other details.
So you're telling other math teachers basically how they should be teaching math?
Not necessarily how that they've got to do it, but just kind of suggestions of whenever you go to do, for example, when we did similarity in geometry, you've got to be able to do cross products. So like that would be something for me of they should already know this,
right?
But this might be something to review. And I'm going to try to tie in when they should have learned that, because if it was something they did last year, you can review it real quick. If it was something they learned a few years ago, it might take a little longer for that to come back to them. That's also going to be information that hopefully is helpful to our RTI teachers, our SPED teachers and all those things, of knowing where their students could use support before they ever get to the new stuff so that they can just focus on the new part that they're trying to learn.
So Chris Bubba Winningham, he is the supervisor of mm-hmm. curriculum for middle school and high school. So how much will you be working with him? And I'm sure from a curriculum, setup, he's going to want to tell you what is expected of his math teachers. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So how does that work? I mean, you're going to meet with him and then he's like, hey, we've got a math teacher over here at this school that, you know, you really need to go work with because maybe their test scores are low mm-hmm. or something like that. Is that kind of how that works?
I'm not 100% certain yet. He's not told me exactly
sure.
how that is. As of right now, I plan on just meeting with as many as I can and being in as many classrooms as I can to see as many different lessons as possible.
Yeah.
And then be able to take kind of cherry pick, if you will, like, oh, I really like this and I really like that, and just kind of be able to move that out further to wherever it's needed.
Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about math teachers in Putnam County and just at just the high school level, how many math teachers are we talking about?
I don't have a number for the whole county yet. I'd say 40 or 50.
Yeah.
I might be off on that a little bit, but there's quite a few.
Yeah. So this is kind of, this is a big undertaking.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to put any pressure
on you, Blake, but
I'm just saying, you know, you've been teaching math at Upperman High School. At Monterey High School. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to be, helping all the math teachers at the high school level. And that's mm-hmm. Vital. That's Upperman. That's Monterey. And that's at Cookeville High School.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we're trying to make people understand is being the math specialist. It's this position of, always being there to coach them, to help them, but also to take the curriculum that Dr. Winningham wants mm-hmm. and to implement it with these math teachers.
Yes. Some of the biggest driving thing, I guess, would be aligning the curriculum that we have,
yeah.
making sure it lines up with the standards that we're supposed to teach,
mm-hmm.
and lining that up with how long we're going to spend on each thing,
mm-hmm.
and kind of making one big cohesive unit, I guess, out of it. And, of course, there's flexibility. Every teacher runs into different snags along the way.
Right.
But it's kind of a map that we start with for everybody to follow. Like, hey, we're going to spend 1 week on quadratics. We're going to spend 1 week on this, and just build how long each thing will take to work through that. And kind of line that up with, on the end of year test, this is 30% versus 15% of this other standard. So we're going to make sure we spend more time here.
Yeah.
And just kind of lay that out for all the contents, not just what I was doing in geometry for myself, but kind of branch that out into all of them.
And how important is testing, is standardized testing when it comes to math?
I think you can take either stance on it that you want.
Sure.
There's some that view that we're tested to death and we take too many tests.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally have the viewpoint on it that the tests can be as productive as you allow them to be.
Sure.
And if you view it as just an obstacle, then that's what it'll be, is an obstacle. But if you view it as an opportunity to gather data and to use it and to improve your teaching, then you can use it as that as well.
Right.
And I feel like it's been a great driver for me, and something that I'm going to try to carry over is, how do we use this data we was using benchmarks mm-hmm. each 9 weeks of how can I use this to, like, okay, I know that I need to spiral back and review this. I know I need to go back over this, and we didn't do great on this, so I need to change what I do with that next year.
Yeah.
And being able to do that, I was able to sit down and make individual review plans for each of my students. I didn't just give all of my students, hey, here's everything we've done this year.
Yeah.
This is what I want you to review. So I've sat down with them last week and said, hey, Johnny, you struggled on the similarity unit. Mm-hmm. You're going to focus similarity. Hey, mm-hmm. Carl, you moved. You didn't get this. You missed trig. I need you to do trig.
Yeah.
And be able to direct what they're reviewing and it not just be everybody do the same thing and kind of waste time on stuff they already know.
Yeah.
And be able to use it. And when the students realize that, at least for me, when they realize that I am specifically targeting and I'm not just giving them what they feel like is busy work,
right,
their buy-in went way up of I'm doing this because I struggled with this, not because everybody's doing a bunch of work.
Yeah. All right. So I've heard the statement that AI is to education what calculators were to math back in the day, that people thought calculators was going to be the ruination of learning math and that AI is going to be the ruination of learning and education now. What do you think about that statement?
I disagree with it. I think it's another thing that can be viewed kind of like what I was mentioning with tests mm-hmm. of it can be a tool.
Yeah.
And we can be as effective as we are using the tools. The tool doesn't do anything by itself. And even if it did, we have to know how to use and implement what it gives back to us.
Mm-hmm. So do you think AI is something that will be incorporated in lesson plans in the future?
Eventually, yes. There's already some things out there as far as that using AI to create worksheets mm-hmm. and stuff like that. That stuff's already kind of starting. Now, as far as how far it progresses, I don't know how far it will make it, but it will be used from a teacher standpoint to probably simplify lesson planning and the work, making the work, and all those things. And from a student aspect, other than trying to keep them from using it to cheat, I don't know.
Well, you know, it's like calculators. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the calculators first came out, it was simple. And now they've got calculators for all kinds of different math.
I had one playing Mario one yeah. a couple of years ago. Like.
On a calculator?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Somebody who's taught math, I mean, I'm sure you've seen the progression of those things. How do you incorporate that into your lesson plans and into the curriculum?
It's actually kind of went the other direction as far as how much that I've used them and implemented them.
Okay.
Whenever I first came in, it was get the calculators that do the graphing, then get the calculators that do this, and then you had calculators that were full-blown Excel sheets, which are still used with stats and all of those things. And at least for me, it's kind of went back the other way.
Sure.
We went to just the basic add, subtract, multiply, divide, square root, and trig, sine, cosine, tangent functions, and they really don't do much more with them beyond that. And in my pre-cal class, the SDC, on the end of your test, the only calculator they can have is add, subtract, multiply, divide.
Right.
Like, they don't even have any of the power functions, square roots, trig functions, any of that. So they have to know all of it for that test. So I guess it ultimately depends what the end of year testing is going to look like, both for college admissions and for us, that how much we drive the calculator use in class. Mm-hmm. It's like for them, I very much spent more time talking about how to find exact values from the unit circle than using the calculator because I knew that's something they would have to be able to do to be successful on the test.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we've got for this week on Local Matters. I'd like to thank our special guest, Blake Van Winkle, the math specialist now for Putnam County Schools, for being with us. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week, and God bless.